Well, there's an Easter egg hunt today, and I want to thank you for filling and bringing back, I think the last count was something like 3,700 and whatever amount of eggs. There was just a lot of them, so thank you very much. And at this very moment, the crew is out putting them out in the field and along the building. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that, buddy. And so after the service, I'll dismiss you. And if your kids are in kids ministry, you can pick them up there and then take them out to the north lawn. And for the little ones, and we don't put an age on it, just if you feel like it's more appropriate for the little ones, they're going to be here along the building. And we've staked that out and flagged it. And then the older kids can be out in the north field there. And so if you're parked back there and you need to leave before the egg hunt, the parking crew will let you out. And then once that's done, then we'll close it off so no one can drive through until the egg hunt is over. So anyway, thank you for helping us. We have done this for years and years and years. I think for almost as long as Cheryl and I pastored here, almost 40, I think this is probably the 46th time we've done this. And back before they had plastic eggs, we used real eggs. I'll tell you, that was fun, especially the day after on that Monday when I mowed the lawn. Boy, we made egg salad, yes, we did. But it has been a wonderful time to be able to tell children the meaning of Easter. And we do that with the Easter egg. And they're doing that in kids' ministry this morning. And we just remind kids that these little eggs, you know, you open them up and there's something wonderful inside. And that's what happened on Easter morning. The tomb opened up and there was something wonderful inside. Nothing, right? Jesus had come from back from the dead, and he arose, and the tomb was empty. And we're going to celebrate that next Sunday on Easter Sunday. And so our service next Sunday will be 10 a.m. We hope you can join us. If you're an early riser and would like to come to the community sunrise service, a number of our local churches in Battleground have gone together to put together a service at Louisville Park at 7 in the morning. We'll go about 45 minutes, and just come on in. At the gate, they'll give you a little parking ticket. It won't cost you anything to park. The pastors in Battleground, the churches are covering the cost of the parking, and we'll take an offering for the food bank. And so come and enjoy a great service. I think we have 8 or 10, maybe 11 pastors that will be able to be there and participate. So looking forward to next week. And then again, Eddie mentioned Friday. Our April communion will be Friday evening at our Good Friday service. We'll be commemorating the death of our Lord. And then also for those who knew Rita Helms, our longtime secretary here at the church for many, many, many years, her memorial service will be Good Friday at 11 o'clock, and so Good Friday morning. So if you'd like to come to that service, it'll be a memorial for Rita. And she and her husband, her family, they were involved in so many of these things we've done at the church. Her husband, Jim, of course, who went to be with the Lord, was a Vietnam veteran, a paraplegic, and was in a wheelchair, but that didn't stop him. Matter of fact, when we were building this building and putting down the flooring, the 2x8 decking, some of you remember that worked that day. Jim had the 32-ounce hammer, and he would bend over in his wheelchair, put a nail, and he would sink that thing. I mean, so you're sitting where a good man of God helped put this floor down. Amen? He wouldn't let anything stop him because he knew this was worth his investment of time. But now he and Rita both are with the Lord and rejoicing with him. Well, this morning I want to take you to the 21st chapter of Matthew. 21st chapter of Matthew. And I want to talk about Palm Sunday. Give a little explanation of why it's called Palm Sunday. And then I want to talk about Palm Sunday questions. We're delighted to have everyone here today, and thank you for being with us. a number of visitors. We appreciate you being a part of the service. And Rita Panetta from North Carolina. We haven't seen you in a long time. She was one of those little kids that grew up into a wonderful young lady and now lives and resides in North Carolina. So Rita, welcome today. Would you welcome Rita? Amen. Thank you for being with us today. And anyone else that's new, we want to welcome you as well. 21st chapter of Matthew. Let me read the text. Starting verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, this is Jesus and his disciples, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say." So if anyone questions you, if anyone says, "What are you doing?" you're going to say to them these words, "The Lord has need of them." That'll be your response. When they ask the question, "What are you doing?" you just say, "The Lord has need of them." And immediately he will send them. The owner won't ask any more questions. That's all he needs to hear. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and now there's a quotation from an Old Testament book, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and it says, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the Old Testament had prophesied hundreds of years before that there would come a moment when a king would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And so that's why Jesus sent two disciples to get a donkey, because he is fulfilling this scripture from the Old Testament. Verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And so they took their coat, put it on the donkey, and put Jesus on this donkey, because they were going to bring him into Jerusalem as a king. That's what Zechariah said. And that may seem odd to us. We're used to we don't have a king in America, never have, never will, prayerfully. But we have a president, and we're used to them riding in a motor vehicle, some kind of a luxury vehicle. But in this day, it was not unusual when a king would come into a country triumphantly, he would ride on a donkey. It was a symbol of conquest, a symbol of a new king in town. And so they would be familiar with that. Verse 8, "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees." Another version of this says palm branches. So that's where we get the sense of Palm Sunday, is when these folks begin to cut down these palm branches and laid them in front of the donkey on the road. They took their clothing and blankets and this kind of thing and laid them on the road so the donkey and Jesus riding it would walk on those things. Verse 9, "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed out cried out, saying," and again, this is a quotation from the Old Testament, 118th Psalm, "and they would cry out the word, Hosanna to the Son of David." So this whole crowd is crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna was a word that roughly translates into our English, meaning save us. King, save us. We need salvation. We need saved. And so these people crying out, Hosanna, were in hopes that Jesus, who had done so many miracles, who had fed the thousands, who had raised the dead, would be able to save them, and in many of their minds, it was to save them from the Roman government as this new king. Of course, we know that wasn't the plan. The plan was for this new king to save them from their sin. Amen? How many are glad Jesus saved us from our sin? He died on the cross so that we could be saved. But here is the cry, Hosanna, Hosanna, from all the crowd. Verse 10. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. That's who this is. So this is a description of what we call Palm Sunday. It's also called the triumphal entry, where Jesus enters Jerusalem unlike any other time before. Any other time he had come into Jerusalem, he was telling people, don't tell anyone, let's keep it quiet. If he healed someone that was sick, don't spread the word, it's not time yet. But now Jesus knows it is time. It is a week before his death and resurrection. But he says, now it's okay. You can tell anyone you want to. Jesus knew his time had come. And so they have this triumphal entry. Well, I want to talk this morning about three questions about this incident that I've just read about. Three questions that are good questions for us today on this Palm Sunday. Question number one, back to verse 3. It's not written, but it's implied. What are you doing? What are you doing? Remember, Jesus said, go to a town near here and get a donkey and get a colt. And if they ask you anything, if they ask you anything, you tell them the Lord has need of them. So I can imagine the owner of the donkey. Now, I don't know if this has been prearranged by some of the disciples. I don't know if Jesus prearranged it. Or I don't know if maybe the Holy Spirit had spoke to the owner. I don't have answers to that. All I know is that the response the disciples were going to give them was, the Lord has need of them. That would seal the deal. And the owners of the donkey would let it go. Now that, think of that for a moment. A donkey is a very important commodity in Bible days. It's not just something they had as a fixture. It's not just something they had for the kids to ride on. It wasn't just something they had to show off. It was a necessity. The donkey was used to grind out the grain, to be hooked to the millstone. It was used for transportation. It was used to carry burdens. It was a very important part. As a matter of fact, when Roman soldiers would come and demand the taxes of the people, if they didn't have the money to pay, they would take their livestock. They would take their donkey. And that would be an incredibly difficult thing for a family to lose. If even if they had a donkey, many families couldn't even afford one. They weren't a luxury item. They were a necessity. So here comes these two strangers, these two disciples, and they're coming and they see this donkey and they see the colt, and so they take them. They say we're going to take them. And so the question was, what are you doing? What are you going to do with my donkey? What are you doing? And they simply said, as Jesus instructed them, the Lord has need of them. And the discussion stopped. Isn't that amazing? The Lord has need of them. I don't know any of you that have a donkey. Does anyone here have a donkey? You have a donkey? If I just showed up and said, I'm taking your donkey, would you just smile and wave? No. No. And so that owner probably said what you would say. What are you doing? Now, when I said I might come to your house and take your donkey, my wife scrunched her nose. But if I responded and said, the Lord has need of them, and you just gave them to me, that would be quite impressive. But you would have had to somehow know that ahead of time. And so these disciples said simply, the Lord has need of them. End of discussion. They let the donkey and the colt go. They were sacrificing a lot. Now, whatever happened to the donkey? We don't know. We don't know what happened to that donkey. I know there's little books written about it and all of that, but we really don't know. Chances are really, really good, and I'm convinced that Jesus would make sure that when he rode in on that donkey, when he was done, they made the disciples take the donkey back, right? They got the donkey back to the owners. So he didn't need it for long. He just borrowed it for a little while. But the question, what are you doing, was answered by the Lord has need of them, which generates this question, what do we have that Jesus needs? This donkey owner had something that Jesus needed. It was a donkey and a colt in order to fulfill the ancient prophecy. And he let them go. He let them use. What do you and I have that Jesus needs? Well, at first response, we could say, nothing. We don't have anything Jesus needs. Does Jesus need my old Ford van that blew a head gasket? Jesus doesn't need that. Cars for kids might need that, but Jesus doesn't need that. Does Jesus need your money? No, he doesn't need your money, but he encourages us to be tithers and to givers, because the church needs your money, because we need to pay our PUD bill and our phone bill and our insurance bill and to give the pastor something to live on. And so he asks us to do that. But does he need it? Is Jesus going to have to file bankruptcy if everyone stopped giving? No, I might, but he doesn't. Does the king of the universe need anything that we have? No, he really doesn't. But what do we have that he really desires? We have our very lives. That's what he would like us to give him. He would like for all of us to be donkeys. I'm not talking about Democrats now. He wants all of us to be donkeys. He wants us to be something that the owner was willing to give to Jesus because Jesus needed it that day. He wants us all to be willing to give our lives to Jesus. Amen. That's what he really wants. It's what he needs, is for people to come to Jesus. For people to come to Jesus. You might be here this morning and you might feel like a donkey. You might feel like nothing but a four-legged beast. You may feel like just an animal that carried burdens or was hitched to the millstone. You may feel insignificant. You may feel like you're not important. You may feel like just a farm animal. But I'm telling you today, you are loved by God and are important to God, and he needs you. He wants you in his kingdom. You're more than just a donkey. You're a great creation of God. You are a human being that God loves and that Jesus gave his life for on the cross. You believe that today? Amen. So when you leave today and go out to lunch and you see a friend and they say, where you been? I've been to church. What did your pastor say? He said, I'm a donkey. That might bring someone to church next week. So the question, what are you doing? The Lord has needed them. Okay, here they go. You can have them. So what do we have that Jesus needs? He really wants you. That's what he wants. He really wants you. Whoever you are, with all your failings, with all our inconsistencies, with all of our little idiosyncrasies that we have, he wants us because he loves us. Jesus died for us. Praise God. Amen? He died for us. Question number two. Again, not written, but implied. Verse number 8. A very great multitude spread their clothes and got palm branches and put them on the ground. So, the question is, what do we do now? Here is this man, Jesus. He's sitting on a donkey, and he's starting to ride in Jerusalem. And so here's this huge crowd, and they ask the question, no doubt, what do we do now? They saw the disciples and what they did. The disciples put their coat on the donkey so that Jesus could sit on it, kind of a way of showing him to be royalty, if you will. And so all the people are wondering, so what do we do now? What do we do? So here's the crowd. And it's interesting about crowds. Here's a multitude. The Bible calls them a multitude. There was a crowd. Was it last summer that we saw all the rioting and everything going on in Portland and Seattle? And or was that 2 years ago? And I don't know about you, but when I looked at that, it broke my heart to see all these, especially young people, doing these terrible things that were being done. Forget the causes. Just put the causes aside. To see them doing terrible, terrible things. And some of those effects are still going on today. And I was reminded of the scripture in the Old Testament where God said, "You shall not follow a multitude to do evil." He prohibited that. And you don't just do what the crowd does. You see, there is a thing in psychology, and I, at least I remember, I'm not a psychologist, but I remember taking a course in high school, and they talked about mob mentality. That sometimes people can get so caught up in a mob that they do things that if they were by themselves, they wouldn't even think about doing it. So that's why God cautioned us about being part of a crowd, being part of a crowd, and this mob mentality that gets us caught up. It's interesting to me that this same crowd right here, this multitude, that now are crying, "Hosanna, save us," worshiping, putting their garments down, palm branches on the street. Could it be that some of this same crowd got caught up in that, weren't really sure what they were doing, but they got caught up in it, and it's a good thing. I mean, they're doing a good thing, and yet some of this same crowd, a week later, could be the crowd at the cross saying, "Crucify him." Or when Pilate said, "Who shall I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus?" The same crowd that was saying, "Hosanna," might be saying, "Give us Barabbas. Give us the criminal. Give us the thief. The insurrectionists, we don't want Jesus." You see, we got to be careful when we ask the question, what do we do now? And folks, we're living in a world right now where we're seeing a lot of people caught up in this mob mentality. And it doesn't have to be a mob on a street. You can be sitting in your house and get caught up in a mob mentality. And all of a sudden, you're doing things that you'd never do. You're saying things, you're thinking things you'd never do or never even perform. So we got to come back to center line and ask this question: what would Jesus have us do? What should I do as a Christian? What should I do as a believer? We are living in a world today where more and more, as we watch the news and we hear the reports, that the Christian, you are under attack. As a follower of Christ, you are under attack. and the voices keep getting louder and louder and louder and louder, that the last thing that our nation needs is more Christians. But I want to tell you, those voices will drown out, because someday those same voices will cry out, according to the book of Revelation, for the very rocks to fall on them at the appearance of Jesus Christ. Hold your ground. Hold your ground as Christians. Stand up for Christ. Stand up for your Christian life. Be a good representative of Jesus. Love people. Love people and forgive people. But stand your ground and be a Christian. In this society, in this world that we're living today, it is important that we live for Christ. Amen? Amen? And so, here is the crowd with the question, what do we do now? Well, do what the disciples did. So they did. They took their coats, palm branches, laid them out in front. So it begs this question, how could we celebrate Jesus? How can we celebrate Jesus? They celebrated him by saying, Hosanna, which was good. Lord, save us. They wanted to be saved. They didn't quite understand that. But the question is, how can we celebrate Jesus today? We can celebrate him in a number of ways, especially at this time of Holy Week. We can celebrate him through, I think, what we're doing today, in my opinion. I have no greater joy than yesterday. I came out, and I try to do it every year. Some years others have helped, but I walked through the field and raked leaves and got things ready for the kids and this egg hunt. And I know not everyone has agreed with the egg hunt. I know that through the years, but it's something I love to do. I was raised with it myself. And I'm out there yesterday, and I didn't ask for help. I know some of you are going, I would have helped you. I would have called. And I appreciate that, but I wanted to be alone. This donkey wanted to be out there by himself. And I wanted to try out a new blower that Cheryl got me for Christmas. And as I'm out there getting things ready for this egg hunt that we're going to have in just about half an hour, I was praying for all these little children that are going to be out there. And I thought of some of you adults who have children now that are going to be out there that used to be children out there. And I've seen pictures of you in my picture box of when you were little. You were so cute. What happened? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And as I see those pictures, I prayed for you back in those days. I prayed for you. And yesterday I prayed for your children. And I prayed for children that don't even attend church, but you're visiting today, and that's okay. That every little egg that you pick up will remind you that there's a church, there's many churches in Battleground who love kids. And Landmark is one of them. And we love you enough to put on an egg hunt. And there's a lot of adults. And I thank God yesterday for all the adults that helped stuff those little eggs with whatever you put in them. I thank you. I prayed for you yesterday. And I said, Lord, let every child that picks up an egg tomorrow understand that we love them. And help that translate into the fact that Jesus loves them. And that maybe someday, when they grow up, they'll bring their kids. And I may not even be here for that. But they'll bring their kids, and their kids will bring their kids someday to hear the story that Jesus loves them. That is a wonderful way to celebrate, in my opinion. How can we celebrate Jesus today? We celebrate him in worship. We celebrate him by putting on these events. We celebrate him by loving people. We don't have to go out and cut down a branch of a tree. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. We celebrate Jesus by the way we live our lives. Our very lives ought to be a celebration of Jesus. Amen? Our very lives ought to be a celebration for Jesus. No matter how young we are, how old we are, our lives ought to be a celebration of Jesus. Third question. And this is actually a question in the scripture in verse 10. And as the people are applauding him, Hosanna, etc., when they came, he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, and here's the question, who is this? That's the third question. Who is this? Not everybody knew who Jesus was. They had heard the rumors. Some had seen some miracles. Others had not seen Jesus yet. And so there was the question, who is this? The answer is given to us in Scripture, verse 11. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. At this point, whoever answered that question didn't know the full extent. Jesus was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. He was a good man, but he was more than a good man. Jesus was a lot of things, but more than anything, he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God who chose to come down to earth and become a human being. And so that's why we have the expression in theology, he was very God and very man. Jesus was God. He was God in the beginning. He was present in creation. He was present all throughout the Old Testament. And then he was born in Bethlehem. That's when God came down to become a man. Yet he never stopped being God. He was the God-man. We don't understand that fully. But it was God that said, I want to come down. There's an old story you've heard before of someone who was trying to help a bird. A bird had fallen out of a nest and they were fluttering all around, and someone was trying to help the bird, and the bird kept squawking and couldn't move, and the person said, if only I could talk bird language and convince them that I was here to help and not hurt them. And the application is very simple. God chose to become man so he could tell us how much God loved us. Came down to speak our language. And he knew that what we needed was a savior. Not from the Roman government. Not from the governments of this world. We needed saved from our sin. Sin is a heavy burden. And if you have not ever asked Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and invited him to come and be the Lord of your life, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is trying to talk your language today. And everything about Holy Week is God expressing how much he loved you. From the beating that he took, which should have been ours, from the scourging that he took that should have been ours, from hanging on the cross that should have been ours, to being put in a tomb that should have been ours, to the resurrection where he defeated all of that, he was trying to tell us that he loves us. That he loves us. He loves you this morning. And I invite you to take a moment and receive that love into your life. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I know that that's more important than anything else today. So would you bow your head for a moment, all of us? And I wonder this morning if there is someone who would say, Pastor Stanton, I need to give my heart to Jesus. Maybe you followed Jesus at one time, but you got away from him. And you want to come back to Jesus. Or maybe this is brand new to you. You've never given your heart to Jesus. but you want to because you feel the weight of sin like we all have felt. Are you here today? I would like to give your heart to Jesus. If you are, I'd like you to stand right where you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else like to join these that have stood? I'll wait just a moment. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to give my heart to Jesus. He loves you so much. Maybe you don't feel like you can stand, but it's not a requirement, but maybe in your heart you can say that. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. All right. Those that have stood, would you stand again? And I want everyone just to pray with me. I'd like everyone to pray this prayer out loud so that these that are standing will not feel alone. Would you pray this? And you that are standing, pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart. Because Jesus loves you very, very much. Dear Jesus, I come to you and I admit that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that you died on the cross for me because you love me. And I'm going to do my best to live for you. I'm not perfect. I never will be. But I'm going to do my best. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, would you applaud these that have given their heart to the Lord today? Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Now, if you let Eddie or someone know, they can give you a little packet and a Bible if you need one, but they can talk to you and give you a little bit more about what it means to follow the Lord. But we congratulate you for making that decision to follow Christ on Palm Sunday. Amen? On Palm Sunday. Amen. Amen. So, who is Jesus to us today? Well, to these that have given their heart to the Lord, he's your Savior, he's your King. To those who have already given your heart to Jesus at one point or another, he's your Savior and he's your Lord. And he's going to walk with you and be with you through the toughest of times, through the good times and the bad times. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. And there's nothing you can do that will ever make him love you any less. Nothing at all. He loves you supremely. And we would hope that you would come to church. If you're new here, we invite you to be a part of this family. But if there's another church that fits you better, great. But find a good church and attend and get to know people. And they will love you and help you and embrace you. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I said I would finish at 11:15, and I'm early. How many are glad I'm early? Well, what I'd like you to do now is stand with me, and as you stand, would you give the Lord thanks for his word today, right here, the Bible. Amen. 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 So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start the egg hunt right about 11:30 because there may be some folks who couldn't make service who'll be bringing little ones, so we don't want them to miss out. And so we'll dismiss you, and we've got a security crew out there and some parking guys. So if you're not going to stay for the egg hunt and you're parked out on the north lot and need to leave, they'll let you out. But then we're going to rope it off so